Okay, gentlemen, let's get our rules of the road straight. We're going to a place called Monster Joe's Truck and Tow. Now, Monster Joe and his daughter Raquel are sympathetic to our dilemma. The place is North Hollywood. So a few twists and turns aside, we'll be going up Hollywood Way. Now, I'll drive the tainted car. Jules, you ride with me. Vincent, you follow in my Acura. Now, if we come across the path of any John Q. Laws, nobody does a fucking thing till I do something.
Right.
What did I say?
Don't do shit unless.
Unless what?
Unless you do it first.
Spoken like a true prodigy. How about you, Lash LaRue? Can you keep your spurs from jingling and jangling?
Mr. Wolf, look, the gun went off. I don't know why. I'm cool, I promise you.
Fair enough. Now, I drive real fucking fast, so keep up. If I get my car back any different than I gave it, Monster Joe's gonna be disposing of two bodies.
You think you got any thug in you?
But Bud White is a valuable officer.
White's a mindless thug.
We're not intimidated by thugs.
Mugs, pugs, thugs. Litwits, halfwits, dimwits.
Thug means never having to say you're sorry.
I seriously want to rip my fucking right eye out of my skull right now.
Okay.
I have had something in it since last night. Like, it's a hair, a tiny speck of dust. You know what it's like when you get something in your eye?
I do.
This one has just been holding on. This one is like, nah, I'm staying.
You slowly go insane.
Yeah, that's sort of how it's feeling right now. And talking about slowly going insane, evidently, the University of Texas decided, hey, we can play football.
That was weird, yeah.
That was fucking shocking. I mean, that wasn't just 36-20. And did you watch the game?
No.
36-20 makes it appear far closer than it was. From the word go, UT just tore the ass out of Oklahoma.
Wow.
As the British would say, they were bummed out by the end of it.
Fucked.
Exactly.
My God. Exactly.
And would you like to hear what the resolution of my AT&T
ordeal? Oh, yes, please.
First hear off, me!
You'll notice this ain't the new one.
No.
So I ordered the new phone last time I'm in there, and they're all, I described, and go to last week's show for my tirade, my angry tirade. My phone arrived on Monday, and I'm like, I'm going to walk in, I'm going to say, hey, I don't want to pay for it that way, I just want to buy the whole thing outright with my, okay, well, hold on a second. Guy goes in the back. Comes out with the fucking UPS box that has the phone in a box inside of it and says, we can't do that. We will have to return this phone and order you another one. And I said, that is stupid. And he went through, well, because we've got this inventory with this. And I said, so what you're saying to me is the brand new, unused, the phone sitting in the unopened box right there that hasn't been hooked up, hasn't been connected,
nothing,
is going to have to be returned so that another brand new phone in the box that has not been used or assigned to anything can be sent to me so that I can pay for it differently. Yes. And I said, that is stupid. I went home and I fucking fired something off on Facebook, on AT&T's Facebook page. Someone, and this is what you folk need to do now whenever you've got a problem like this. AT&T contacted me and said, send me your account number, a phone number I can reach you at. But send it to him. The guy called and he's like, yeah, that is inconvenient. Sorry about that. And ended up floating me just the phone charges part of my bill.
Okay.
So it like $65.
Right.
Which really pisses you off when you're like, oh, so I'm paying $100 a month for a phone and only $65 of it is for the actual service. The rest is...
Well...
Yeah.
You see, Mr. Dirks.
I know. It's all down to me being not
Have
too
you ever read
right.
The Giving Tree?
Get a job, sir. So, yeah. And my phone is here now. So that means on my way home, I'm going to pick it up. And I'm just going to let the whole fucking thing go because what's the goddamn point?
None that I can see.
There is none. And so just be done with it. Be done with this brutality.
Barbarian.
Derek
is barbaric.
It's me just hitting random stuff because I didn't check anything before we hit play.
Right on. It's all good.
I mean, record or whatever the hell we do.
I found a letter on the internet. I don't know if you've read it or not or seen it.
I've never read letters.
It's a letter written to Bryan Cranston.
Ah. Oh, from...
From Hopkins?
Hopkins, yeah.
It is. I wasn't sure if you'd read it or not, but it absolutely blows my mind. Let me see. Where's the line that he put on here? You and all the cast are the best actors I have ever seen. That might sound like a good lungful of smoke blowing, but it is not. It's almost midnight out here in Malibu, and I felt compelled to write you this email. Congratulations and my deepest respect. You are truly a great, great actor. But then he even puts in there, it's like, if you ever get a chance to, would you pass on my admiration to everyone? Anna Gunn, Dean Norris, Aaron Paul, Betsy Brandt, RJ Mitty, Bob Odenkirk, Jonathan Banks, Stephen Michael Cazeta, for half the people on that list, like Stephen Michael Cazeta, he's a comedian from Albuquerque. He's got his own show. Anthony Hopkins knows your name and wants someone to tell you how good he thinks you are. We're just going to take a breath.
Nothing from Bill Burr?
Yeah, Bill Burr.
Did he mention Bill Burr by name?
No, he didn't mention
him. And he fucking didn't care, did he?
Nope. See, he also didn't mention Hopkins. He didn't mention Huel Bobineau. I got to.
Still sitting there.
Oh, man. It is... I'm still stupefied at how I'm kind of getting over it now, but yeah, it's weird. I've watched so much TV last night. Hope and I watched a movie last night. We actually watched Warm Bodies, which it's good. It's cute. It's not bad.
Not bad.
Not it's great. It's a decent cup of tea. You know? It's not a steak. It's not a great burger, but
it's not awful.
It's a good. It's like a really solid fast food burger. It's what you want Chick-fil-A to taste like.
Yes, it's a Wendy's meat cube.
Yeah, it is. It is exactly. Not even on the pretzel bun with the weird.
No. Apparently, the pretzel buns that fell off the back of a truck in Newark.
Yeah, they are not very good.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Apparently,
I don't. Isn't that weird? Even fucking Whole Foods.
Yeah, make a fuck.
Yeah.
Pretzel buns. It's a thing.
Have some pretzel buns. Yeah.
Everyone decided. Pretzel buns.
Hot dog buns.
I don't even... What?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, pretzels are good, but they're a lot like Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Pretzels. Delicious. Yeah. Then you have it, and you're like, oh.
See, that's why you have to have the pretzel-wrapped hot dog from Aunt Annie's
These
Pretzels.
These pretzels want gay people not to get married to.
Yeah. I can tell you what those pretzels...
Rolled gold.
I can tell you what those pretzels are.
What's that?
Making me thirsty.
That's right.
Oh, boom. Pulled it right in.
Nice.
There it is. Yeah. So that was a fun little fucking adventure this week, dealing with all that bullshit. But okay, so we watched that last night. I realized I've watched so much just episodic television. I was thrown by a feature. My mind was thrown a little bit
by... This doesn't take nearly as long.
It's like, what on earth is going on here? Why is this so long? But I think it's more just like I said, I'm so used to... I've marathoned so much television. I need to start getting back into movies.
Sure, sure.
For some fucking reason.
I don't know why, but... Yeah. Makes sense to me.
Did you watch the new Walking Dead?
I did.
Interesting shit is afoot.
Oh, my...
Yeah.
My.
I know. It's going to be cool. May I say something? And I stopped to toot my own horn for a second. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on, but my voice is hitting just at the right place in my throat. I love it. This, seriously,
this is
what
is
I want to sound like all the time.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. I'm not even affecting it.
I'm going to get that wang.
That wang. Oh, my. I said when I was reading the instructions.
Yes, have some.
When I was reading the PSAT instructions yesterday, I fell right into, you will have 25 minutes to complete this section. Do not. And I said I realized it as I said it. It's the first time I ever said pencils down. Pencils down.
Pencils down. No more work.
Yeah, pencils down. We're good here.
No more ink. Knives down. No more cooking. What have you.
Yeah, it's weird when you're that far. I'm 8 years into it, and it's like, how could I have never said this before?
What have you said previously?
Okay, that okay. Time's up. Moving on to the next sec. That sort of thing. And it only the thing is, pencils down only applies on the PSAT because it's the only timed test.
I see.
That I give. So I've only given it once before.
Oh, well, there you go.
Mm-hmm. And I've been like, time's up. All right, move on. And this time I just felt like having some fun, making it my own.
Time's up, nerds.
Stop writing, bitches.
Shut up and sit down, you big bald yeah. fuck.
Maybe not.
Stop writing, motherfucker.
Yes, let's try that one. Wherever the hell that is.
I want maraschino cherries on everything.
Get fucked.
No, all right. That's not it.
Fuck.
Spread it on.
No, no.
I lay you out and fill your mouth with your mother's feces.
That's actually that's,
before we can talk.
That's how I that's how I should have ended it. I could roll you out and fill your mouth with your mother's feces.
Something, something, somewhere.
You're the Bulgarian.
No,
fuck.
No.
Meat drink.
No, that's not it.
And I want maraschino cherries
on everything.
Wait, no.
Meat drink. 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 I want maraschino cherries.
Oh my god!
That's not it.
That okay. The reason that I reacted the way I did to that, that was just the music by itself. He added everything. That was a live mix.
What?
And from DJ Great White Buffalo. Yo.
You know it. MZ Raspberry Fresh.
Whatever, motherfucker.
There it is.
Yes. That was amazing.
Thank you.
Well, I don't have other things
I
on
here. Didn't blow the anything else you had your head no. right out of the water.
Well, I don't know what I don't know what to think anymore. So what?
Such a good quality show about films.
Yeah, it really is.
Really is.
This is why distraction therapy's become a thing.
Yes. Because
we fucking need it,
man.
Sorry, the dog
what
just,
happens?
I put my hand down, and the dog licked my fingers. Didn't smell him first, so the first thing I felt was tongue on my hand.
Ooh, my!
Oh, and it's the little one.
And I want maraschino cherries on everything.
You know, maraschino cherries were named in honor of the boxer Rocky Maraschino. What sells the Rocky Maraschino on that? Is the way he puts his hands.
Rocky Maraschino. Oh, that's good.
It's actually Rocky Maraschino.
Whatever, motherfucker!
Oh, it's so good.
Barbaric!
It is barbaric.
It is.
Man. So what things do you have?
Oh, news?
Yes.
No, right? Nothing.
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 Yeah.
Nothing. I inspected a house 3 times this week.
Yeah?
Because a guy didn't understand what he was doing at all.
Oh, tell me more. Tell me more.
You have, as far as I know,
uh-huh.
zero experience installing or inspecting foundations of any kind whatsoever. Is that correct?
My construction experience is limited to ripping siding and green insulation out of an old house and hanging a window frame. And my only experience with foundations is when I used the grinder to cut into the foundation and almost cut my finger in half.
Okay.
Like split down the middle in half.
Okay, so we're dealing with pretty much dick.
Yes, nothing. Let me repeat, I almost cut my fucking finger in half with a grinder. That's my experience.
If I told you that an exterior beam of your foundation
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
needed 2 panels of steel,
uh-huh.
and I gave you the layout of
right.
the steel,
okay.
At any exterior beam, its total depth,
mm-hmm.
total depth of the beam is greater than 36 inches.
Okay.
What would you glean from that? Would you think that you needed steel in every exterior beam that was greater than 36 inches?
What I would do personally, myself, is I would find whatever beams were 36 inches or 3 feet into the ground, just so that, you know, for those out there, around a meter. I would put a minimum of 2 steel things on it. If there was a way to do a third just for extra safety, I would. And you know what? I might even do it on ones that aren't that deep just because a little more safety never does you any harm.
You might want to put that ass to sleep.
Yeah.
Or you may not be concerned about any profit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's okay. I'm just saying, I know what I
would do is a bare minimum.
I hear you.
Bare minimum is
he didn't do any of it.
Oh, really? He didn't?
Three times.
Did you do the thing I asked you to? Oh, no.
No, no.
Okay.
Well, but here's the thing. Is it done? Yes. Okay. It wasn't done. All right. Go back the next day. Before going out there, this is in very far away.
Okay.
In the middle of fucking nowhere. And I'm from fucking nowhere. So you know what I mean when I say fucking nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not done. Then it poured fucking rain.
Stormageddon. Holy Christ.
I said, look, I don't know if you guys finished last night. Oh, they finished. Uh-huh. Did you see them? No, they called me and told me they finished. Okay. They didn't. Chances are no one's going out there to work because it's pouring ass rain. I know that because I'm about half an hour from your foundation. It's dry here.
That was me dropping my pen.
My
pen!
It is fucking raining.
Yeah.
And there isn't a chance that anyone's going to be out there. In fact, I'll be the first one that opens the gate. And I was. And there was no one working there.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what happened?
Nothing was done. What?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
That is fucking nuts. Now, when we talk about rain, hold on a second. I've got another little story that I could tell you here in just a second. Uh-huh. Speaking of rain, when we say there was a lot of rain, Austin City Limits Music Festival was canceled. Not delayed. Not happening. And I was like, that's bullshit. Then I saw pictures of the park where it happens.
Yeah.
We're talking about 6 to 8 inches. I'd say that's a cautious estimate.
Yeah.
Of full-on standing water on the ground. It was fucking flooded.
Yeah.
And it continued. The rain just didn't stop.
No, it didn't.
It fucking insane. But, you know, we're used to that in this area because we have, we are used to shit like a creek bed that has been dry for years, like decades. And all of a sudden, oh, there's a river here. What the fuck are we supposed to do?
I don't know. But, what you're not supposed to do is tell the guy that charges $350 a shot.
Yeah.
That's done.
When it ain't done. Yeah.
And believe that guy who has a few years of experience doing this when he says,
oh, no, no.
No one's going to be out there doing shit.
Oh, but it's done.
But it's done. You know what? Fuck it. Why do I bother? It's fine. Whatever.
Do you get paid for each time you go out?
Oh, let me clarify. To be clear,
yeah, the company charges that money.
I don't get paid.
You don't get paid.
I gotten paid should I get paid $350 a slab, nothing would pass ever.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, well, I guess I'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, everything's perfect.
Yeah, everything has to be.
Pull this cable out myself. No, you're wrong.
Oops, sorry. Guess I'll be back tomorrow. My sister.
Shall not pass!
Nice. My sister started slow carb yesterday, and she'd been talking about doing it for a while, and I told her, I was like, you will be fucking starving and miserable the first week.
Yeah.
You will be, and after that, your body will self-correct and get used to it. You're detoxing, you're weaning off of this stuff. So she started yesterday, is going to do it till Saturday, just so that she can ease into it. And she sent me stuff like, oh yeah, this is kind of going there. Last night, she was like, God damn it, I am so hungry. I'm like, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It's hell. The reason I oversold how bad it was so that you wouldn't go into it thinking, oh, well, some people have a problem with it. I'm like, no, it will be the worst week of your life. It'll be terrible. And she just sent me a thing. If I go and get brisket at the Pit Barbecue place for lunch, can I get beans as well? I was like, beans are encouraged. They're fine. Sure. They're great. Speaking of that, I actually canceled my judging of the barbecue competition because the time I would have to be at a place 50 miles away, 50 miles northeast of Waco by 12:30 at the latest. And I wouldn't be able to leave Austin until 10:30.
Yeah.
So I'd have to do 150 miles in under 2 hours.
Yeah.
unless I'm screeching like a bat out of hell and there is no traffic, I'm not making that. So I said, next year, be good. Because this year, I'm sorry, I'd rather see Vince Gilligan and try and talk to him afterwards. Try and corner him and say, hey, brah.
Hey, dickhead.
Yeah, we're talking.
Yeah.
I'm going to put you in a fucking headlock and kiss you
noogie
on the forehead.
You until you give me an interview.
Exactly. And your little men who might try and stop me, ha, ha, ha. Unless you've got Huel Babineau.
Nope.
I love that last name, Babineau.
Babineau.
But yeah, so I made the choice that I knew I was going to make, and it sucks, but what have you.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Which, by the way, brings me to the other point. Have no idea what the show is going to be next week, if there is a show. Basically, if I'm able to get enough interviews to put a show out, there will be a show.
Right.
If not, Brian's going to be there, so we might just hook up do a pubcast.
There you go.
At some point, the two of us at the on Saturday night after we've done 2 days of the festival and the conferences and all that, just record and shoot the shit about what our experience was.
Sounds
and if
good.
People walk by, sit down, let's fucking talk. Hey, you want to talk about this? Come on.
Right.
And literally people passing by, you're at AFF, you want to do a part of an interview about it?
You want to touch me?
Yeah. Touch me? Well, you know you do.
Yeah, you do. Sit down.
Don't make me make you. So yes, that's going to be a good time, and we'll see. We will see. And Julie has told me the question I have to ask Vince Gilligan. And I will say, my sister said she'd give me $100 if I asked you this question. Mr. Gilligan, if you were stranded on a deserted island, what would you call it?
It's pretty good.
It's the fucking dumbest question ever. And she does. She wants me to do it because she wants to hear him say, I'd call it Gilligan's Island. It's a fucking terrible joke.
I like it.
But I might have
I like
to
it.
Fucking do it.
It's good. I like it very much.
Yeah, so
that should be the only thing you say to
him. And then just stare at him uncomfortably.
Yes, that's it.
And then it like, serious, if he sits there dead silent, he goes, well, if you don't have any other questions, if you're
it's
done?
It's a simple answer.
And then, yeah, it's a simple question, Vince. Just ask the weirdest question ever.
It's a yes or no answer.
Yeah.
What?
It's like, you know what? I heard you were cool. I didn't realize you were a fucking prick.
Ugh.
Asshole. And then storm off. More like Heisen cock.
Breaking brood. Dick.
Cockenberg. What?
Nice. Let's just do this. For the
like,
rest
more
of the
like
show.
Dick Gilligan.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That's not like your dad's name.
Richard Gilligan was a saint. Oh, free show.
Actually, and then do the end. Do the David Cross foster adopted son thing where he's like, I've been adopted 25 times. And 24 of those, yeah, I'll admit, that's on me. I was the asshole there. This time, I tried. You guys fucked this up. It was like, you know, I've done a lot of interviews, Vince, that have gone terribly. Most of those are on me. This one, no. You were the asshole here. Just leave him with a story about the worst thing that could have happened at a panel.
And always end it with good game. Tap on the ass.
Is I have a question during the panel. I have a question for Mr. Gilligan. How does it feel being a fraud?
Didn't you steal this idea from Chris Carter?
That would be the ultimate way to start off the thing.
Let's talk about me.
In a recent interview, Chris Carter said that you stole the entire idea for this for Breaking Bad from him, and he is considering legal action. What?
Yeah. No,
I'm just fucking with you.
Just fucking with you.
Yeah, but I'm,
he didn't write anything like this.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Bryan Cranston did. He claims that you stole.
Yeah.
So.
Excellent.
Awesome times. This week, for this show, I sent you, we were trying to figure out what to do, and it was like on Tuesday.
Yeah.
This is Thursday. We're recording. It was on Tuesday, like, what the fuck should we do a show about this week? And you were like, I have no idea.
None.
I said, Peter Jackson from like Gross Out Indie Guy to Box Office Giant? You're like, yes.
Yeah, I love that.
Because this, I am still trying to wrap my fucking head around Peter Jackson's career because it does not make sense at all.
If you're an aspiring filmmaker,
mm-hmm.
And you're a big fan of Peter Jackson,
mm-hmm.
it would behoove you to not imagine that your career will have the same kind of meteoric rise.
Not at all.
That Mr. Jackson's did.
Honestly, he is a step away from, like, you going to a karaoke night and singing a fucked up funny verse, like me doing my Humpty Dance karaoke, which is awesome, and that leading to me having a triple platinum album and a bunch of Grammys.
Right. He's the Ripper Owens.
Exactly.
Of
exactly. God directors. Damn how this happened, I don't understand.
I love this little thing on Wikipedia when it says, when Jackson was 22, he embarked on a movie-making adventure that would change his life. This film, Bad Taste, was begun as many other Jackson films in an amateur style and a low budget, using friends and local people to star in his film. Jackson himself did nearly everything in the movie. He directed, produced, filmed, and starred in it in a number of roles, among them that of the hero Derek. And everything was filmed on a second-hand $250 camera. It took Jackson and his friends 4 years to complete the movie. What had started out as a joke with a group of friends then became a cult classic. Okay.
Yeah.
Up to this point, mm-hmm. a lot of people have done this.
Yes, uh-huh.
To one degree or another.
Yes, uh-huh.
And then this happens. This sentence. A friend of Jackson, who was working in the movie industry, convinced him that the film had commercial prospects and arranged for it to be shown at Cannes.
Oh, wow. That's...
Where it won a lot of acclaim, as well as a number of prizes. If you can just find that friend in the industry that sees promise in your project...
And hooks you up with Cannes.
And hooks you up with Cannes, it's a done deal, baby. Cannes! If you can just... find that.
Yeah. That's that page that gets left out of the...
Yeah.
That's the...
There's something here about... Nope.
It's the Globo gym, you know. I started this business with nothing but hard work, determination, and yes, a large inheritance from my father.
Huge, huge amount of starting capital.
Yeah.
This is the missing step on WikiHow.
Yeah. First, come up with a great idea. Second, somehow have unlimited access to money and resources.
Yeah. Three. Enjoy it.
Enjoy it, yeah. Just sit back and watch. Now, Bad Taste is one that it was years later that I... From when I saw it, it was a while later before I found out who Peter Jackson was based off of his other films, because...
Oh, yeah.
I saw it... for the first time in 94.
Okay.
Freshman year of college, my friend, we're going to play a game called What Color Is He? Edward Pritchett Cotton.
Korean.
Fucking ginger as hell. Pale, pasty. I hear that and I pay Edward Pritchett Cotton. I picture fucking old-timey black blues musician.
Steven Seagal?
Yeah, exactly. It's precisely what I picture. But he just showed up with it one day and he's like, this is awesome. We should watch it. I've heard good things. And I said, well, all right.
Why not?
And it was in Waco. So it was the cover that had the two fingers instead of the flip off, which clever. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, this is the cheapest, unrepentantly cheapest, most fucking disgusting thing I've ever seen. But oh my God. The everything that went into this, I am genuinely impressed by.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because there's a lot of people. See, here's the thing. There are a lot of people who make indie movies. There's a lot of people who make small films that aren't. But what really separates it, what really makes it worthwhile is, it's like with podcasts, what our idea has always been. You can get this information anywhere.
Yeah.
You're not listening for information. You're listening because we can, for style. You're listening for style over substance.
You said it, baby.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. And in film, it's actually the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Because there's a million things that are flashy and have all the style in the world. Yeah. But there's got to be something that sparks with people, that connects with people, that makes you go, oh my God. And just the weird shit in that. The moment that I remember most from it, other than the sheep scene, other than they made you drink Chuck.
Yeah.
Other though has to be, well, and when he's drinking the vomit and goes back and drinks some more, is when the guy, break into the was it the boys or the fellas?
Yeah.
They break into the place. They're doing their military shit. They drop the guy who drops the bowl and the other guy catches it.
Yeah.
When the dude breaks his neck and then rips his head and entire spinal column out, steps on the spinal column, pops it off the head, and then just drop kicks the head out the window. I was like, the combination of things that happened there is so fucking brilliant.
The gag that goes on and on and on with the brain,
yeah.
Derek's head wound.
Uh-huh.
It just doesn't end.
No, it doesn't. And it's fucking great.
And it's, parts of it are just kind of, well, I've got to get the shot of me actually picking up the piece, and the sound editing is just bright as bright can be.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
every
yeah. Very
little
juicy.
Thing. Yes.
Very
indeed.
Juicy.
Oh, my.
Aren't I lucky I got a chucky bit?
Ooh.
And the best part, though, when you want to talk about low budget, when he opens up the thing that, was it the chainsaw? That
yes.
The chainsaw was in? It is literally a wooden box with a fucking calculator, like a four function calculator on it. And he types in, boom, boom, and okay, opens it up. We're good to go. He right off the bat, the reason I love Peter Jackson, no matter what he does, even if I don't care for one of his films, I like Peter Jackson because he gets it. He has that joy of doing it and had it from the beginning. He made an unmarketable film.
Absolutely.
I mean, he started out with something that was like, oh, this will be fun. I'll see if I can do it. It takes 4 fucking years at the end of it. I'll have something I can show at parties. It was the way Kevin Smith talked about Clerks. He was like, that thing's barely a fucking movie. I'd be like, I thought I would have a copy of it that when I had friends over, I could put it on and be like, hey, remember this fucking mistake?
Yeah.
And that's how he approached it with, it was a story I wanted to tell. It was a movie that I wanted to watch that nobody else would make. And so I fucking did it. And that's what Jackson did with Bad Taste was, let's fucking do this. And I'll tell you something, Clarkson. When I saw it, I thought, that's as gross as this guy can get.
Nope.
Fuck, I was wrong.
Nope.
Holy shit. And there is an argument could be made, and I agree with it, that perchance for as gross as his third feature film is, I kind of think his second is... the fucking sweet spot, and that is Meet the Feebles.
Meet the Feebles. Yeah, that is...
Everything in that movie feels like it's covered in grime.
Yeah, motor oil and filth.
Yeah. Filth.
Yeah.
A lot of organics mixed in with the motor oil.
Yeah.
It is genuinely jarring. I saw it so long ago, I don't remember what it's about.
Puppets.
Yeah, all I remember is disgusting puppets, and the fact that I almost think the entire movie was made so that he could take those guys in the big costume character outfits out on a golf course.
Yes.
Because they're playing golf, and like, fucking, aren't they wearing like Zumbas and shit?
Yes.
Those fucking pink...
I think so.
Tiger stripe pants
pissed
and
off
like
at the tee and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just...
It's horrifying. The only reason I knew about Meet the Feebles was because it, even though it came out and even though it was made in 1989, it really didn't start hitting the U.S. until the mid-90s. And I remember seeing ads for it all the fucking time when I would go to the Dolby, because I went to the Dolby constantly because I fucking lived there.
Right.
And there's something about saying I could literally go from my apartment to a movie theater barefoot.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
If I wanted to. I wouldn't because it was kind of foul in the dope. You remember, I think you knew who he was as well, but part of the appeal of going to the Dolby was if you went at the right time, you could see who I called Freestyle, who other friends of mine called the Burger King rapper, the BK rapper.
Yes.
Did you ever witness this gentleman?
No, I know what you're talking about. But
he was this guy who worked at the Burger King in the Dolby Mall food court, which... Calling it a mall is a fucking stretch. It's like a department store that happened to have different shops in it.
It's a bit of a floor that had a few doors.
Yeah, yeah.
And a food court.
Yeah, yeah, and a cool little theater. Yeah. But this guy walked around all the time just fucking like dancing and freestyle rapping to himself. And the only time I've ever heard anyone who had a conversation with him, it was one of my sweet mates in the dorm. It was down in the used CD store.
Mm-hmm.
Remember those?
Oh, yeah.
In the cheapo disc is gone.
Completely gone.
Completely gone. Blows my mind. But he's in there looking at something, and this guy is in there wrapping it stuff. He looks up and goes, man, get some Ike Turner, man. You call him Mr. Turner. That's the only fucking spoken sentence he ever had.
Probably the only sentence he ever spoke.
And when he walked out, the guy who worked at the store looked at my buddy and goes, he's kind of like the drunken uncle of the Dobie. That was it. But yeah, this guy was like a legend. He's somebody that Everyone at UT from that time is like, that fucking, yes.
Yeah.
That fucking guy.
Never witnessed him. My friend Sam told me about him.
That totally hooked. Wasn't Sam the one that I took a German class with?
I believe so.
Yeah. What was funny to me, though, about Meet the Feebles is how it repelled me instantly from the preview. And that was when I was going and seeing the most fucking pretentious every goddamn thing that they had at the Dobie, because I was serious about film, so I have to go watch them.
Hey, man, got to go through that phase to get all the way to here.
Yes. Got a dream to achieve.
That's right.
And you have to dream it and visualize it to be
think about it
before you
take film seriously so that someday you can just...
Meet drapes.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, job well done.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Being retarded is still not a handicap.
But I didn't see it till it was on video. And I think I rented a tape from tape lenders. Yes, because it was at the time located in the Dolby Mall. And I didn't realize that it was a gay video store, because I didn't look at the window when I walked in to see the fucking rainbow flags covering the window. And like the man pocket, man pouch fucking underwear and shit like that. I just didn't even think to fucking notice it. What's weird is it still exists.
Really?
Or I think it might have just recently shut down, but it's on 5th Street. Going into downtown, like kind of up near Broken Spoke, up near Mean Eyed Cat.
Oh, okay.
It's in that area. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's weird. Right next to Black Swan Yoga.
Ah.
Yeah. So it was truly, truly a bizarre experience. But yeah, then I sat down and watched it by myself and was like, it wasn't bad. Okay, I guess.
Yeah. Peter Jackson, for me, didn't start till 98.
Yeah? Wow.
Saw Bad Taste. I think I had seen parts of Dead Alive, but I didn't watch the whole thing, and I didn't connect it to Peter Jackson.
Right.
How could I?
Yeah.
But after Bad Taste, I was like, well, okay, this guy's awesome.
Let's see what this chap has to offer.
And my suspicion was correct. Dead Alive is a fucking riot.
Yes. And I believe in other countries it might be called Brain Dead.
I believe so.
But Dead Alive... holy shit. It's one of the most just vomit-inducing gore fests out there. It is so gross, but it also has some of the most genuinely hilarious moments. I don't know if I have a more favorite character in any of Jackson's movies than the fucking preacher.
I kick ass for the Lord.
I saw your hand move, and I was like, I know exactly what he's going to fucking hit. When that dude shows up,
I kick ass for the Lord.
And shit got live.
It's so good.
Yeah, it really is. It also had this guy from one of my film classes would always quote, he's got the bite.
The bite. Yeah. Every little thing they notice, keep saying the whatever indigenous word for the bite is.
Uh-huh.
His hand, they cut off his hand, his other arm, his head. That's great.
Yeah. Well, what's weird about it, though, is honestly, if you got to have a tough stomach to get past the dinner scene.
Yeah.
And fucking ear falls off and she eats it. And just. But it's worth it just to get to the lawnmower scene.
Oh, yes.
Party's over.
Party's over.
Oh, my. And I'm not much of a gore hound.
Yeah.
I love horror movies, but I'm not particularly into that stuff. But it's so stupid and fun and
when he
ridiculous.
Fucking walks into that room with the lawnmower strapped to his chest.
Yeah.
And then he's slipping it. That's actually, that is where the term splat stick came from, which has literally only been used to describe Peter Jackson movies, but it makes sense. Splatter with slapstick. It's fucking fantastic. But him slipping and that weird legs going apart, trying to pull him back together. outstanding.
That's the only kind of horror movie that Peter Jackson can do. Yeah. He said himself he couldn't do a serious, quote unquote,
right,
horror movie because they take themselves too seriously. He was offered to direct Hellraiser 3, Hell on Earth.
That would have been interesting.
And he passed.
Yeah.
Because the script is fucking wacky.
Right.
But it's more of a fun,
uh-huh,
inverted commas,
right,
version of Hellraiser. So it may have worked, but he said, I couldn't take it seriously. I'd wind up having Pinhead like smash into a wall and all the pins would go in his face.
Nice.
And be, you know, well, that, but which, that's the only thing he could do. That's his admission. Yeah.
But for a director at that stage of his career to say, I'm not the guy for that. Holy shit. That is very telling as to him as a person, because most directors would be like, shit, yeah, you're giving me a franchise piece?
But at least he had the foresight to know, that's not my thing, and A, and B, that's not going to serve as your franchise,
because
the people that love that love it for the reasons that they do.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be able to deliver what this needs to be.
Want to hear more of that? Listen to the Hellraiser podcast, the most polite podcast.
The most polite podcast
out there
on the internet. That's right. They wouldn't make fun of this little loser dog. No, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't.
Sorry, we're a bit down on you, Buffy.
Sorry about that. Yes. But yeah, Dead Alive was just... Here's what I will say about Peter Jackson's early work. Every one of his movies. Kevin Smith said when he saw Slacker, he was like, I'd never seen that movie before.
Right.
I'd never seen those movies. Because everything, no matter how good it is, you know, there's a variant that you've seen before.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even movies that I fucking... Inception, I love it, but it's a heist movie.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen part of it before.
Yeah.
You know, not all of it. It's the angle that they take on it that makes it work. These, I'm like,
Nobody saw
seen this shit coming.
Nobody.
Yeah. Then he took such a brilliant turn by doing Heavenly Creatures.
That's a good one.
It's a really, really well-made film. Really engaging, really just absorbing. And as far away from his type of film as you can fucking get. Evidently, though, one of those women went to jail, all that. And they've got this, in the UK, they will do shit for young people who get convicted of really horrible crimes, where when they get out, it will be confidential. You won't see their face, any of it. They'll just... And I think one of the ladies from this has ended up becoming like a fairly well-known author of like mystery books. And actually, I don't remember what it is. It's one where I think we need to look it up here. It actually reminds me of this movie that I saw recently called Boy A.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Andrew Garfield played a kid who got out of jail after, you know, murdering this girl. And they show you through flashbacks that he was just this screwed up, lonely kid that no one liked. And he hooked up with another kid who was like that, except he was the dangerous kind of kid.
Yeah.
That led to it. And then he gets out of jail. He doesn't know how to fucking live. He doesn't know anything. And then when he gets, you know, when he gets... It's tough to explain without giving anything away, but it's like, I don't have anything that I really... can do now. I'm kind of screwed. So let me see here. Okay, hold on. Let me see. Later Life, began surveillance under the name. Okay, no, that's not her. So it's the other one. Sorry, I'm flipping through both of the ladies that had this issue. But what it was is these two girls who were sort of not misfits or outsiders, but they were just these two kind of quirky girls who met each other and formed a really intense friendship that eventually led to a murder. Which is, I mean, that's pretty fucking, pretty fucking intense.
That'll happen.
Yeah, she became Anne. Her name is now Anne Perry, and she writes. She's written novels like, you know, The Cater Street Hangman. She does a lot of historical fiction type stuff. I mean, she's got a fucking anthology. She's got a story. She's won a fucking Edgar Award.
Wow.
So she's not fucking about. She knows what she's doing. And that's one of those things where, you know, she was a kid when it happened. It's fucking terrible, but I mean, what do we do to somebody who has genuinely, as you see, they've reformed. They've
well,
they paid their dues, and now they're trying to be members of society.
Well, good luck.
Yeah, good luck. Exactly. You know,
and aren't you lucky you weren't an American?
Yes, because boy, that would have shook out a little different.
Yeah, and
we don't fucks about with that shit here.
Law don't go around here. Savvy?
Just don't go. Heavenly Creatures is fantastic.
That's a good one.
Now, the next one, many people, you don't even have, I look down and see it's not even on your list.
No.
Not only have I seen it in the theater, I own a fucking DVD copy of Forgotten Silver. It is about an hour or so long, but it's this mockumentary that was made very kind of seriously that Peter Jackson made about this New Zealand filmmaker named Cameron McIntosh, who was just this early innovator of film that they didn't know, that was just left kind of forgotten through all the shit in history, but it's like recorded, you know, did the first color film years before, right, captured the first flight on film, made the first sound film, but it didn't catch on because it was a martial arts movie that had Chinese actors in it, and he didn't bother to dub it or subtitle it so no one could understand it, so they just sort of ignored him. It's a really fascinating look at a history of film, and it shows his, Jackson's, love of film and just the kind of amazing, because it's difficult to tell that it's not real. Like, I, for a while, walked out of the theater because we didn't get much press on it. I just walked in and watched this thing in the theater and walked out like, this fucking guy real? Like, that, Jesus, because it, most mockumentaries give you enough to where you're like, okay, isn't real. This is too, you know, Hardcore Logo and, you know, Spinal Tap. Why did I start with Hardcore Logo?
I don't know.
The fuck?
I don't know that.
It just came to my head, like Hardcore Logo. Yes, Hardcore Logo. You know, the one everyone's seen.
Everyone knows.
And then I mentioned Spinal Tap.
Right.
Yeah. But even all of the, you know, Spinal Pap, Spinal Tarp, Waiting for Guffman, all of this, you're aware because it's so far. This was done with such a dryness.
Yeah.
That, wait, is it really? And then you watch the second Lord of the Rings movie, and the guy who played Cameron McIntosh plays Deagle in that. So up, like, holy shit, okay. Well, and by then I'd known for years that it was fucking fake. But that's what I used to love about shit like the Village Art Cinema in Austin. Fucking Forgotten Silver is, I think, 70 minutes, 65, 70 minutes, and it played at that theater. Now, granted, that's part of the reason it went out of business, because it was playing fucking movies that three people would go to.
Well, it's a goddamn shame.
Yeah.
Because I'd like to have a little theater that played those kind of films.
Yeah. Yeah. A rep.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
Because sadly, the downshot to the Draft House getting as big as it did is it stopped being a repertory theater.
Yeah.
And it does some special programming, but
it's not the same.
Yeah. You know, like, seriously, if I won the lottery, I would build, I would have the badass thing that would have the, yeah, come and see movies, man. Yeah. But I wouldn't invite other people.
Would that be your ad?
Yeah, come see movies. Come see movies here, man. Mm. Shut the fuck up and watch a movie. That would be, the theater would be called Shut the Fuck Up and Watch the Movie.
Sounds good. I like it.
Don't look at me in the eye.
You're the Bulgarian, you fuck.
Nice. Hold on. I'm going to hit pause for a sec. Right. And we're back. Sorry, I had to get more woed. Woed. Now, this is weird because Jackson's career exploded essentially based off of the fact that we can get him cheap.
Yeah.
Because Lord of the Rings, that was one that's been getting kicked around for goddamn ever. It was one of those things for a while that was like the X-Men. There's never going to be a goddamn movie about this. They're talking about doing it, but it's never going to fucking happen.
There were talks about that as early as the late 80s.
Mm-hmm. That this project had been kicked around. And then they went with him because Jackson was young, hungry, and was like, I'll do it X amount, I'll do it cheap, and I'll do it all at the same time.
Yeah.
Now, I'm trying to wrap my head around, because they basically were on that project for 3 years.
Yes.
The people working on that project were minimum, maybe even 4 years.
Probably.
I remember how much I would bond with actors in a play that ran for on something that was 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Could you imagine 3 years, how much you're able to delve into character and all that shit? And these are outstanding. I mean, the Lord of the Rings movies, it's weird because my ranking of them is actually best to worst chronological. I love Fellowship of the Ring. Yes. I think it's fucking fantastic.
Magical.
I like the Two Towers. And I'm okay with Return of the King.
Well, the thing about Return of the King is, as Peter Jackson puts it, it's all payoff.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a whole lot of anything else going on in this except payoff.
It's 2 hours.
But there's a lot of different payoffs going on. So
it's like
basically, here's some payoff.
Yeah.
Payoff, payoff, payoff.
It's 3 hours of climax and denouement.
Yeah, so.
Which does then, throw it a little bit.
And some of that denouement, oh my my.
Oh, don't. The only part that threw me...
That is a really disturbing scene.
The part that threw me the hardest on that was when fucking... What's his name? Starts singing. When goddamn
Aragorn... Yeah, that's
Aragorn,
a bit weird.
You know what would have been better? Is if his fucking wife had come out and sang.
Yeah.
Because for those who don't know, Viggo Mortensen married Xe from the band X.
Be all right.
Yeah, if she'd come out with John Doe and just started rocking some shit out.
That would have been something else.
This actually reminds me, listen to the Nerdist interview with Slash.
Okay.
First off, that motherfucker knows everything about dinosaurs.
Yes, he does.
Second off, there was a band, they were talking about Fear, that John Belushi got Lorne Michaels to book on Saturday Night Live. And this, apparently they cut it from things and, you know, from rebroadcast, not so it's really hard to find. And apparently they were like, look, we're really nervous that there'll be some punks that'll trash the place. And so we all, apparently there's this whole thing happening in DC called Straight Edge. Let's get a bunch of those sober kids up here because they'll behave themselves. And Slash said, the thing about Straight Edge is, they're just as bad, but they don't have the drugs to tire them out. So they're just able
to
do it longer.
Keep going.
Yeah. It was like, it started, it was around Halloween. It started and immediately pumpkins that were on the stage, trash, destroyed the audience, just went fucking crazy, as you'd expect.
And you have somebody that will not, and I repeat, not take his foot off of the gas if something's going wrong.
Is that Lee Ving, right?
Lee Ving will let it go.
Yeah.
Because that's when punk rock was punk rock.
Yeah.
I don't like you. I don't even like you. And you like me. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck everyone. Not the people that hate us. I fuck the people that like us.
Yeah.
He's
amazing. Not Gigi Allen bad.
No.
But it's...
It was
that
just,
fucking
just
power stance.
Oh.
Yeah.
Beef bologna. What can I tell you? It's just so... Let's start a war. God damn it.
Yeah.
What a good band.
What brought us to that?
I don't know. I don't care. Fucking... fuck all this. I'll listen to Fear, man.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
Woo!
But that aesthetic, that passion is what was necessary to make this project fucking work.
I agree.
You had to approach it with that. And I honestly, if you'd done a project like that, you'd walk away from it feeling like family. Even no matter any fights you got into with those folks, you know that shit's gone immediately. Like, hey, guys, you want to hang out?
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm also a big fan of these films.
Mm-hmm.
What I found most enchanting was the music.
The music was pretty good.
I love the music so much because he does these great songs in the middle of his cartoon.
Yeah.
Because he drew those cartoons so well.
Yes. And a lot of... There was actually... What's cool about that, they used a machine called a rotoscope.
Did they?
Where they animated actual people. That's why it looked so real.
Oh, no. I think he did that when he was calling himself Rankin Bass.
Yeah. He might
Peter
have.
Jackson... called himself Rankin Bass.
Yes.
And he had songs that he wrote and played when he drew the cartoon for the movie.
Yeah.
Frodo.
Yes.
The nine fingers
and the ring of doom.
That's a good song. Really that good song.
Cat really nails the vibrato on that, doesn't he?
I like the goblin cheerleader.
Party's over.
Oh, no.
That really is quality song craft.
Where there's a whip, there's a way.
Oh, be nice.
Where there's a whip, there's a way. Where there's a whip, we don't want to go to war today. But the Lord of the Lashes. We're gonna march on.
They put so much effort into those songs.
I remember seeing that in a sixth grade reading class that I took. And he was like, oh, and he did this and he animated over people. And I at one point wanted to say, you're aware this is fucking awful.
There were two different ones. There was
Lord of the Rings, and then there was Lord of the Hobbit and
Return of the King. There was the Rankin Bass ones. And then the Bakshi ones mm-hmm. was the Lord of the...
Yeah, the Lord of the Rings.
And just the Lord of the Rings, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that one was really fucking weird.
Yeah, there was weirdness abounding in all
Rankin
of that
Bass
shit.
Rankin Bass equally weird. Yeah. Because that's all the songs I was playing uh-huh. from that. In case you don't know.
Yeah.
Fucking weird, but... I saw it at such a young age. Yeah. Those songs are seared into my brain.
Right.
At some point, there's a part of my brain always singing. All the time.
See, I was leery because here's the thing. I tried to read those fucking books.
You would get down on your knees on broken glass and pray to any mad god you could find uh-huh. that those songs would be half as good as
yeah.
that.
Oh, yes. Here's the thing. I attempted to read Lord of the Rings for the first time in 2001.
Oh, no.
For the listeners, I was 26. It did not fucking go well. To get a little Bostonian on you, it did not fucking work.
This did not fucking work.
Yeah, it was fucking awful. I tried to read The fucking Hobbit. I've told you guys about buttered toast. If I see the words buttered toast together, butter, fuck you, book. And it didn't go much better with the Lord of the Goddamn Rings. It just didn't. I didn't care. Right. I didn't care. I was like, this is stupid and wordy. Get to the fucking point. Why am I? I'm an adult. Why am I reading tra la 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 la?
I don't know, but yeah. A lot of it.
Brother, what a night it really was.
I have to really want a fruit sandwich to find this place.
I mentioned that because they have lots of sandwiches.
There's no room for that.
No, but there's lots of room for sandwiches.
Lots of room for sandwiches.
Lots of room for fucking tea and singing.
Yeah. Holy shit, is there ever. And by the way, we'll get back to that.
Bulls. We want the finest wines available to humanity. We want them here, and we want them now.
No, we're going to have tea.
I like the building of the story in the first one, because the first one really felt like it was... They knew where they were going. They knew what they wanted it to be. They had this beautiful... All of the points were set up there. And it got everything moving so beautifully.
Absolutely.
And then the second one, I thought it was good. But the second one was where I started seeing a lot of the... Okay, this is in here just because it's in the book. And this is dragging out a little bit. And by the third one, that was basically what was released in the theaters was the extended director's cut. That was... Here's all of it.
Pretty much.
And... it just felt there's this whole thing within music where you have to resolve the melody where it goes mm-hmm. through the different notes. And if you end on this note instead of this other note, it feels like, okay, it's yeah. like not, it's like getting right to the edge of a sneeze and not sneezing. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what it felt like is it was just this constant, like, damn it. Well, like, just fucking sneeze and be done with it. Please, Peter. Please just fucking be done with this. And again, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it was like, come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
Do better than this. And it dragged on a bit. And it was weird because this was one of those things that I think the public feeling towards it was building to a point that people weren't honest about the movies. It felt like the hype... And just the anticipation and the build was informing their opinions more than they thought. And I'm not insulting people because that shit happens to me on stuff all the time.
Oh, sure.
But I had zero emotional connection to the material. I had zero history with it other than watching the Rankin and Bass and the
whatever.
And reading a total between Hobbit and all of the Lord of the Rings books, about 70 pages.
Right.
Total. Between... All four of them. So, and if I'm being honest, it's between two of them.
So for someone who didn't have any connection to it whatsoever, yeah. I mean, well, tenuous at best, you still were able to enjoy the things that really worked.
Yes.
Whereas people like myself who were just, you're going to have to beat me with a brick for me not to like this.
Right.
However, watching these things, researching this topic, and watching it out of context, and now that that's over and that's done with, it can be a different experience.
Yeah.
A far, far different experience. God. It's really awkward.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really awkward, that whole denouement.
Yeah.
But, however, Fellowship of the Ring is still a little bit of magic.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
Walked in the theater with my friend Wayne, and we, you know, talked about this kind of crap and read all these kind of books.
Yeah.
Not just Tolkien. And when they finally opened up to the Shire, oh my God.
Yeah.
That's exactly what was in my head.
Yep.
Exactly. That is spooky.
It's the creation of it was so nice, and it created a world.
Yeah.
And I think the wonder of the world creation and the time that had to go into that and the careful balance of everything really is, to me, what made that movie so strong, is because it was like, wow, this is...
so complete.
This is something happening here. This is really impressive. But by, you know, when the Two Towers hit and Return of the King, that had worn off some. Also, my Two Towers viewing experience. I went and saw it at that Pflugerville...
Tinseltown?
Tinseltown in Pflugerville. Mm-hmm. It was in this massive theater that had like no one in it, but there was like this one row of friends that were there, and they were cool. But one of them evidently had just started dating this, I don't know if she was a stripper, but she was a fucking stripper. And was just going off on all of this shit. Like, and that bitch tried to... they go, and then she went to go to the bathroom, and all his friends were like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, right in front of me, this girl who's just dominating the conversation with all of her stupid hillbilly stripper drama.
Right.
All of his friends are like, we have to watch a fucking movie with this person. In air quotes, fucking person. I have to sit here with... It's fucking hilarious. And then
he'll never live that down.
Oh, no.
Ever.
No.
Even he broke up with her that night.
Yeah.
It won't matter.
Then Return of the King, I saw with a group of friends at the lake, at the Draft House Village, and drank a lot of beers. And I went and had to piss during one of the battle scenes.
A wicked piss.
Yeah. So, you know, I had to watch the rest of the thing in a wet seat and wet pants because I paid money for that ticket. I'm not missing it. I just fucking...
let it flow.
Let the dragon spew forth. I actually... I don't know why I said that. But then I got up and went to the bathroom and I didn't feel like I missed anything.
Not really.
Somebody was like, okay, wow. And it's still happening.
It's still playing somewhere.
Wow, there's a giant elephant. Did Salvador Dali do the production design for this? Because it looks like he did.
Oh, man. Though the 3 years that those things were coming out,
it was awesome.
Tradition every year, we'd meet down at Wayne's, and we'd go to Corpus and see it.
Yeah.
So it was a big fucking deal for all of us that were into that kind of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So my memories of it are much better than that.
Hope fucking...
as far as the movie experience.
Yeah. Hope fucking loves them. Mm-hmm. She loves them. She reads. I actually got a ripped to shit first edition copy of the Cimmerillion from the library where I work. Mm-hmm. And you know, they were getting rid of it, so I took it. I was like, hey, Hope, check it out. It's a first edition of the Cimmerillion. She read the fucking thing cover to cover. And I was like,
something.
Really? Damn.
Yeah, you gotta be into that shit to get into
Cimmerillion. You're into this shit. Damn. Yeah. And to me,
I don't know more about Morgoth and that giant spider.
See, the Cimmerillion has shit that I would be interested in it because it's all backstory.
Yeah.
But I don't want to read it because I understand it's fucking hard to read.
It's a bit to get through.
Yeah. Yeah. It reads like a history textbook.
A bit.
Yeah.
A bit.
So, yeah.
But, yes, I'm like you. I want to know what are the origins of all these things.
What made this
happen? So I remember the clearest fucking day, getting that and going out in the hammock in my parents' backyard reading the Cimmerillion. And I think my dad still said I should probably read My Friend Flicka. I think if what we're trying to get me to do is read, we've got it covered, Dad.
Yeah. Well, it's because I can just imagine your dad like, what's a book about a horse? I think you should want to read a book about a horse.
Hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you. Hear you loud and clear.
And that's the sort of thing where I think...
This has horses in it.
Yeah.
Not right now because the earth's being formed. Yeah. But eventually.
The motivation, though. I could just see your dad like, you're part of this kind of, you're in a ranch family. Why are you not reading a book about a horse?
Reading about singing trolls.
The shit is that? Here's a horse book.
Singing trolls. This horse sings.
Yeah.
Come on.
Come on. Check it out. He flickers. What's wrong with you?
Come on.
God.
Goblins and fucking, what's an orc? Orc. That didn't exist.
We were talking about Tron up at Hope's parents' place, and her grandfather, her brother almost fucking died of smiling because her grandma's like, I don't really care for you can take your trones and what have you. And her brother just like, that's the great. He just couldn't stop smiling. He's like, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life. I just thought he was going to pass out. It was so fucking great. I don't give a crap about that. And then my dad's like, I don't understand the point of the robots fighting monsters. I don't get that. I was like, how do you not want to see that? Like, Tron, I can understand being indifferent towards.
Sure.
But,
yeah.
That
seems pretty obvious.
Shema. So, that's just me. And those three, it's weird because it was one of those Academy Awards that by the time the third one came out, it was like, he's going to win it for this, and it's going to be for the move, for the series.
Yeah, for the body of work.
Because unlike The Hobbit, which we'll get to in a minute, mm-hmm. The Hobbit got a fucking Best Picture nod because it was The Hobbit directed by Peter Jackson. It had nothing to do with the quality of that film. These were, honestly, I think it should have won for the first one. But
hey,
winning it for the third one was
rare achievement, a massive achievement that worked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are things that, that's odd.
It's an odd choice. Yeah.
I don't know if I would do that, but I also know what I wouldn't be able to do, and that's anything he did.
Yeah.
So
I wouldn't have been able to direct it.
I wouldn't be able to do dick of this.
Yeah.
Because I'm not nearly as obsessed with getting this world and this thing done as he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still in that world.
He really is.
He's still there and not gone insane.
Yeah. Yep. Didn't he, though?
Well, I don't know. I have purposely avoided the Hobbit movies thus far.
Well, we won't.
They're fucking trying, though, with. Well, I won't get there yet.
Okay. Because to me, I think the mind losing might have happened in 2005.
Real good at crapping the crappers.
Yes. Yes, you are.
Jack Black was such an odd choice. I don't dislike Jack Black, but I like. Jack Black is like, I'm trying to think of the perfect allegory for him.
I'm telling you, he is a Nirvana t-shirt on this movie. It will forever date this film.
Mm-hmm.
People will say, yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Jack Black.
Well, Jack Black is like Cemetery Gates or something like that. Yeah. You have to, everything has to be perfect for that to be, I want to listen to this. And I'm saying, fucking School of Rock. He knocked it out of the fucking park all the way through. And he had line deliveries that were fantastic. Well, you know who else is heavy? Aretha Franklin. And you know who else got a little bit of a weight problem? Me. Then why don't you lose weight? Because I like to eat. Like, that is a designed for Jack Black moment.
Yeah.
It's fucking perfect. I loved him in that. He was fantastic in, High Fidelity.
Of course.
There are parts that Jack Black nails.
I am not bagging on Jack Black.
No, I'm saying he was weird casting for this.
Very weird. Sam Rockwell.
Because he didn't feel natural, and he didn't, that's the sort of thing, you put Paul Giamatti in that part, and it works a little better.
Makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, makes a whole lot more sense, because he's got that kind of vibe going, and that's the vibe he needed. This movie I will never forgive, because it has the dumbest goddamn line. I have a map to an uncharted island. Pardon me, sir. No, you do not.
Yes, I do.
Yes, okay.
I wrote this map.
Yes.
It's very good.
It's very good. It's precise. But King Kong, I was okay with. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. I thought fucking Andy Serkis's performance was...
Wow.
Let's talk that motherfucker real quick. He should have been up for. He should have won Oscars for fucking for Gollum.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes and Gollum.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes. He should have won it for fucking Return of the King Return of the King. Two Towers when he has the conversation with himself.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that they were using his performance to sell the movie. There were trailers that were like, see the most unique and innovative performance ever.
Yeah.
And him, he brought such a character to the to King Kong. Then again, with Caesar and that, he brings, he there's something about just his physicality that is perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got it down. And shit, being the king of that. Fucking yeah, good for you, dude.
Rarefied air.
Yeah, King Kong, it just, I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. It was just kind of there.
Peter Jackson is on record as saying, I didn't pay much attention to the audience or the studio or anything. I wanted to make a movie for the 9-year-old Peter.
Yeah, yeah.
Correct. He did.
He is the guy who paid Harry Knowles offered him at least $130,000 for his original King Kong poster.
Yeah. Which, and I don't know what's worse. If that story's true, then Knowles sold, right? Certainly.
I would assume.
I would hope so.
But who knows?
But
I'd imagine Peter Jackson could probably go to the production company and say, I'd like an original poster.
I would think so.
And they'd make that happen. But there we go. And I can totally see that. That was I was given make whatever movie you want.
And he did.
And he's like, this is what I want to make. I've always wanted to make this film.
He says that King Kong was what made him want to make movies.
Yeah. So, fuck, more power to you. I mean, shit.
But
you get that blank check, you're going to cash it.
It is impressive.
It really is.
It really is something to see. Mm-hmm. I saw it once, and I'm good.
Yeah. Same here.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Just not something I need to watch on a regular basis.
I've gotten it.
Got it.
I understand this.
No problem.
Wonderful. The Hobbit. Well, actually, Lovely Bones. Have you seen The Lovely Bones?
I haven't seen it.
I don't think... I haven't seen it either. And it's one of those things that frustrated me because it was like the year that it came out was... everyone was saying, oh, Stanley Tucci is finally going to win an Oscar. He's like, fucking Christoph Waltz.
Yeah.
Like, shit, son. And that was one of those years where with Best Supporting Actor, it's like any other year, four people who were nominated from that would have been the unquestioned you're getting the Oscar. But it just so happened one of them was goddamn steamroller Chris Waltz.
He'll have his day.
Yeah.
Someday, Tucci.
Oh, Tucci will. Tucci
you're
definitely
so
will.
Fucking
He's so
good.
Fucking good, yeah. I mean, him, I loved him in those movies that he made with Campbell Scott, the weirdly Marx Brother-esque ones, you know.
Big Night. One of them, yeah.
Big Night was so fucking good. And then he did the other one with Oliver Platt where they ended up on a boat. I don't remember what it's called for the life of me, but it was quite good. But yeah, Hobbit hits. Oh, well, I'm sorry, Lovely Bones, neither one of us has seen, so we can't say shit about it. I don't even know what it's about, really, but it looks beautiful.
Child's murdered, there's a ghost, and I'm making that shit up. I have no idea.
Who knows, yeah. But then, Hobbit, Unexpected Journey. Here's what my issue with The Hobbit is.
Oh, we totally skipped over The Frighteners.
Oh, my fuck.
Sorry.
Boop, 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 boop. Mm. Let's back this one up, Costanzer. Okay. I don't know how the fuck that happened. It was because I talked Forgotten Silver and was my usual boorish, insensitive self who doesn't pay attention to things. And here we are.
Oh, dear.
I know.
Dear,
life is
dear.
Awful. No. The Frighteners, here's my statement. This, if you want to see a movie that encapsulates and will allow you to understand Peter Jackson's abilities, proclivities, and style as a filmmaker, The Frighteners, full stop, period.
Yeah.
It is the fucking distilled essence of what he is as a filmmaker outside of the Tolkienverse.
Yes. I avoided that thing for a long time.
I didn't
give a shit.
Yeah.
Which is weird because I like Peter Jackson. I was very aware of Peter Jackson at the time, like Michael J. Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, I enjoy the subject matter.
Nope.
And just not going to watch this perfectly wonderful film.
It was one of those movies that caught me almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, fuck, this is perfect.
Yeah.
Holy crap, this is great. For the kind of movie it was, the way they did reveals, the way they built the suspense, the way that... absolutely incredible. Like, seriously, my jaw was on the floor through a lot of it.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things when it was over, you know, there are a lot of movies that you're like, oh, that was all right. And then there's every once in a while that movies, it's like, I'm glad I saw this because in many years I'm going to be in on this.
Yeah.
Because this, the folks connected to this are going to be huge. And I'll be, because when he dies, you'll be able to say, I've been listening to him for years. That is what it was with this movie for me. Is I knew you, it was just this instinctual thing that I had where it was like, this is going to be fucking great. Yeah,
not me. I just. But
well, I didn't see it until it was out on video. I mean, it came out in 1995.
Yeah, 90. Yeah, mine says 96. But
yeah, 95, 96. I didn't see it until probably 98.
Yeah.
Just because.
I didn't see it way later.
Yeah.
Way, way later. It just didn't. I don't know. I do that sometimes.
It was like me with Trainspotting. Yeah. Well, fuck yeah, I don't want to see that. It's become a poster. It's too big a damn thing. And then, holy you watch hell, it. Yeah, I'm an asshole.
Same thing.
I am such a dick.
Weird. I did the same thing with American Psycho.
Yeah.
I watched it, part of it, and was like, oh, fuck this movie. Who cares?
Yeah.
Watch it again 3 years later. Jesus Christ, that's amazing.
It is a good flick, yeah. It is a good. See, my problem is.
Amazing, maybe a bit strong. It's really good.
I saw it immediately after reading the book, so I was like.
Oh, yeah, I've read the book.
I think what the lesson I've learned is books just aren't worth it.
No.
Only reading nerds.
Is dumb. Only singing is king.
Yeah.
Frodo. Doom.
Smoke up, hippies. This one's for you.
The land of Shire, there's a brave little hobbit.
Bilbo, why the fuck did I not record that?
Frighteners nailed it, though. That's just one that on every level. Michael J. Fox is fucking fantastic in it. Yeah. I forget the freaked out FBI agent who comes in and has all those fucking symbols. Yeah. He destroyed. He was so good. This is seriously what happens when a filmmaker gets a small budget and kind of gets to do his thing with it.
Yeah.
Because this would not have gotten made after the Lord of the Rings stuff because he'd have too much money and wouldn't be able to. No. This was just everything is there. And most of the people who are in it are at their best in this.
Yes.
Like in Jake Busey. Is so goddamn good. He is so good. Dee Wallace.
Yeah.
Fucking kills it in this. Just the layers, the levels, and it just works.
All it's, the little beats.
Yeah.
In the graveyard with Arlie Ermey and, you know, pointing around with the guns and all the spooks go down behind the tombstone, a la Haunted Mansion style.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty obvious.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. Great stuff. What he could do with material.
Yeah. And, I mean, that was one of those things that, you know, was not a huge budget thing.
No.
You can look at it and tell this was an also project that came out. And how in the hell is that not a big shitting deal around Halloween? How is that not like a we're going to roll it out on Showtime every night leading up to Halloween. We're going to throw that out there as well.
Oh, because, get the Christmas story treatment?
Yeah, exactly. You know, not 24 hours, but throw it in with the bunch because it's genuinely scarier than any slasher movie. The fucking Ringwraith prototype, when they're not just using a cape for it, but walls and carpet and shit like that, really... really brilliant work. And that, I think, is sort of the birth of... Well, that's where the birth of his, you know, Weta, with all of that special effects shit. Because they really worked it with the effects. I mean, the biggest deal to me on it was... that he's come up with... it was with the orcs and shit like that, where... in the Lord of the Rings, of course. Yes. On the battlefield, when you had the millions of these things, each one of those was an individual thing with its own controls that you could type in a number for, and it would show you their first-person POV.
Yeah.
That level of detail where it wasn't just, we're going to create one, we're going to do spawn. We're going to create one, two, three, four, and then just copy-paste them over and over again. We are genuinely doing this. And it's because he was able to turn special effects into characters.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Frighteners, there is something that is straight up nothing but special effect that he turns into a character.
Mm-hmm. Does it to great effect.
Fucking brilliant effect. Now, Back to The Hobbit.
Yes.
Here's my issue with The Hobbit. Have you ever seen a movie shot for 3D in 2D?
Parts of Avatar. But no.
It does not look good in 2D. Everything is very flat, mm-hmm. and it's just very boring. I saw The Hobbit in the 48 frames per second with the 3D glasses and all that. And here's my problem with 48p. It makes it look cheap to me. It makes it look like video. You know, it looks like video, really high quality video, but it doesn't look like film, which I understand it's not film and that's not what they're going for.
Right.
It's just something that's unnatural to me and I'll get used to it and be okay with it. But it's that really, you know, when you go into a, go and look at TVs at Best Buy or Circuit City or, I don't know. Let me name another place that hasn't existed forever. You know, you go into a Cons to look at a fucking... And how when they've got the really high-def one set on that ultra-high-def setting and it looks...
Weird.
That's what this whole thing looked like on the screen.
Oh, that's weird.
Hope is a fanatic, as I've said. She wanted to stop before they even started the quest.
Jesus.
Not stop, but she was like, this is fucking stupid. When they, you know, are juggling the dishes around and then the fucking Dwarf King starts singing.
That whole dish juggling thing. It is. That's a whole scene?
A couple scenes. Well, it depends on how, depends on what we're defining as a scene, but it's a couple of sequences because they come in and they raid the pantry and there's this whole rigmarole of madness of them taking all the food and then they eat and then there's this wacky juggling scene of them cleaning shit up. So it's extended with the juggling nonsense at the end of it as sort of a button.
Oh, dear.
Then we've, like, they actually were singing the goddamn songs that were written in the books, which takes you out of it.
Well, that's not good.
And,
that's the stuff.
And it just went a little wonk. And here's what pisses me off is they altered the continuity that they established when they showed how he found the ring in the prologue of Fellowship. It's a little bit different in this one.
The prologue of
Fellowship where they show him.
Fellowship or Towers with Andy Serkis's Smeagol.
Where they show
Bilbo
picking up the ring.
Oh, okay.
It's different, not hugely, but enough that I was able to notice.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of weird shit added to it, like Radagast.
Right.
Is a fairly significant character in it, and he is riding on a dog sled pulled by giant bunnies. He has birds living in his hat, and half of his face is covered in bird shit. Only cool thing is, he is played by, the seventh doctor. Sylvester McCoy played Radagast.
That's cool.
And Hope literally was sitting there the majority of the time, like, what the fuck is this? Why are they fighting orc kings in the mountain? Like, scenes that were not part of anything, that were like whole cloth thrown in. That just were off.
How odd.
Yeah. And part of it is because, you know, the Lord of the Rings books, each one individually is longer than The Hobbit. And book individually only got one movie. So you are taking a shorter story and stretching it out to what's going to end up being close to 9 hours. It is, if they had done maybe two movies of 2 hours each and gave you a solid, tight 4 hours, perfect.
Yeah.
But three films with the kind of length that they're doing on this, I can see it getting interminable. And it might be great.
I don't know.
Might not.
I do have the Orc King song.
Yeah?
Jalisco, Jalisco. To tenis, to novia.
Everybody!
Cantor, cantor, a toro, pecho, echar, ese grito, querendo es Jalisco!
Oh, how bizarre.
Jalisco!
I'd do that for Ogden, otherwise, you know.
Oh, yeah. And he just texted me, talking about rewatching Rubicon. So that's kind of interesting. But I enjoyed that show, and it vanished. But, The Hobbit... I don't have a lot of faith for it. I mean, it might be fantastic. I don't know. I really don't.
I don't.
But it should have been an unexpected journey followed by there and back again. Dude, yes. There is a lengthy prologue with... do you remember the part of The Hobbit that had Frodo in it?
No.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Because it's about the first 10 to 15 minutes of the movie.
No.
Because it begins with Bilbo sitting down and writing his memoir right before the party that begins.
No.
Quite literally, it begins at the beginning of Fellowship as they're planning the party. Cool. And then he takes out the book and it gives you the flashback, which is how the whole story's told.
Right. Oh, man, oh, man.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man. The movie keeps trying to get me to come in, this new trilogy.
Yeah.
With the Desolation of Smaug trailer that I've seen about four times.
I haven't seen it at all.
And the new one has him, Smaug, actually addressing Bilbo.
And do you know who the voice of Smaug is? Benedict Cumberbatch. He's also the voice of the Necromancer.
/ Sauron. Spoilers.
Oh, I did not know this, but it does make sense.
So that was pretty badass. So I don't know. Of course, the last time I saw the trailer previous to the new one, I don't remember what movie Nicole and I were watching in the theater. She just looked over and was like, "You're alone on that one. You're alone on this one. Your nerdy little nerdness. Nope. Nope.
Nope.
Doctor Who fan.
Yeah.
Giving me grief about nerd shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's be honest. Nicole, the woman who announced, I'm going to wear a costume when we go see Wizard of Oz in IMAX 3D. Yeah. That was her original statement. It's calling you
a nerd.
A nerd.
Yeah. Hey.
And she is right.
Yeah.
In this instance,
yes.
She's right. I don't have much hope for it. However, there is going to be another Tonton movie.
Oh, hurrah.
Yeah. The first one was all right. I mean, it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great, but it was decent. I mean, it was a decent little, like, Indiana Jones style animated movie. But you know what I'm most thankful for? It's teaching me that the dog is named Snowy, because for the longest time, I thought the dog was named Tintin. Or Tauntaun, or whatever, because a human being named Tintin is stupid.
Tauntaun.
Tauntaun. Tauntaun. Yeah. Tauntaun. I just assume that a dog named Tintin is adorable.
Not Rin Tin Tin.
Yeah.
Tintin.
Tintin. Oh, sorry. That you're right. That is a people name.
Yes. I don't know. That felt like two rich guys getting together to make things that were just adorable that people need to get back into.
Yeah.
There's a reason people haven't got back into it.
Yeah.
Not me. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. It's like soccer. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Although evidently we're doing all right in the World Cup.
Are we?
Yeah.
I'll be damned.
If we win one, great. Because I'm a jingoist at heart.
Yeah,
so, you know, what the fuck? Gandalf. Now leave me alone, Buffy. Leave me alone. You got to go over there. I've given you enough attention.
Yeah.
Asshole.
Asshole.
God, she's giving me that look. That,
she always does.
Hey.
Come on, man.
It's okay. You can just leave me here. I don't need any attention. It'd be nice, but I just don't need it.
Buffy, don't make me.
Consider a song like Slap a Fool, which you mentioned by the group Dove Shack, which touts the virtues of a machine that automatically smacks a wife or girlfriend into line.
That really
I had,
is.
I had to find zero reason to play
it. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. There's
nothing. That is wonderful. Wonderful,
wonderful. But yeah, I want him to get away from directing these movies.
Yes.
Because I think he can do more. When I found out Guillermo del Toro was going to be directing these with Jackson producing, I was like, that'll be fucking awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be so great.
Jackson furled the schedule in front of Guillermo.
Yeah.
Like, this is what we have in mind. I've got many things.
Guillermo's like,
I got a lot of irons in the fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Jackson, that's the schedule he's used to. This is what we do. Like, are you serious?
You are crazy.
Yeah. I don't think I could do that. So, but you know, I could understand that. I mean, shit, locking yourself onto a film for that long. Especially when you're Del Toro and you do have a lot of irons in the fire.
He
works fast. He works loose. He shoots from the hip. He takes no guff.
He doesn't take an entire day to shoot one scene.
Yeah. No, not at
Jackson
all.
Jackson has been quoted as saying he wants to figure out how Clint Eastwood does his thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Change up the way he works.
Yeah.
You don't shoot the way Clint and his crew shoot.
Yeah.
At all.
At all. Clint Eastwood is big on your home in time for dinner. You're off on the weekends.
That's it.
He's got the he has the attitude that you should have with it. Jackson, are you kidding? Jackson was using I looked on, I forget where it was. I was talking with somebody from Red. Mm-hmm. It was at South By. I was like, where did I fucking talk to a person from Red Cameras? Oh, it's South By. Yeah. And he was saying, yeah, Peter Jackson is using like 56 of these cameras on The Hobbit right now. That is, if you go off of list price, which he probably isn't, is like $12 million worth of cameras.
God.
That he's shooting with. Which, fuck yeah, why wouldn't, of course you are. Of course you are.
Well.
But it's one of those things where it's like with Kevin Smith, when we talked about him, I wish Jersey Girl had done better so that he would have broken further away from what he started out as and grown and done more and different and been allowed by his audience to grow and go in new and cool directions.
Yeah.
With this, I know Jackson. I want the guy who made The Frighteners to make more movies. Well, I don't want the guy who made The Lord of the Rings to make more
movies. That's what's exciting is that eventually this will all be over with and he'll get on. Unless they dump another $1 billion on his doorstep and go, you know what people are clamoring for out there? The Silmarillion.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to see that.
In three movies.
In three movies. In that case, I will be hooked madly.
Yeah.
I want to see that.
I can understand. I totally can understand. But yeah,
it's
that's
damn good.
And that's one of those things where people don't understand the success has defeated you.
You know,
victory has defeated you line
victory
from
has defeated you.
Fucking Dark Knight Rises. Yeah. And it's true. You can hit a point where the Peter Jackson who made The Frighteners could have made pretty much any film he was interested in after that.
Yeah.
You know? And then he hits a point where it's no, you can't make a fucking $20 million film. You can't do that, Peter. The studio is like, yeah, it's not big enough. Sorry. And unless he decides to just say, fuck it, I'm Peter Jackson. The next thing I'm going to make is going to be this.
And I have great hope that that'll be exactly what he does.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't need to do shit.
Yeah. I wonder how into Lord of the Rings you have to be to dedicate the total, not Lord of the Rings, but Tolkien. To dedicate probably all in a decade
of your life just to making that into film.
I mean, because it has to, but like, I'll put it this way. I really love pizza. I do. Yeah. I'm human. I love
Same
pizza.
Here.
If you had nothing but pizza every night for 10 years.
Let's take it a step further.
Yeah.
Let's go right for it.
Yeah.
I really enjoy prime steak.
Yes.
With a scotch.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What makes that so special is that it's relatively rare.
Yeah, it's an occasional thing.
My.
Yeah.
If I had 10 years of that, I would, first of all, I'd be dead.
Yeah.
And if I weren't dead, I would be in great discomfort.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it does hit a point where it's like,
this is just so much of this.
So much. And you're only a human being.
Detail after detail. Yeah. Like, well, that crown has to be just so. Fuck me.
I mean, hell. And we're talking like 10 years of every goddamn
every day
you're doing something connected to it.
A massive machine.
Yeah. And then when the movie comes out, no, you don't get a break. That's when the fucking real work starts because now you're going to be out there in front of the camera. Well, not the real work. That's where the boring shit starts because then you have to do junket after junket where you answer the same five goddamn questions over and over again. You have 70 people come through and it's like, come on, just fucking something else. Let me talk about something else. Because when you're involved in a production, the production becomes your life.
Yeah.
Especially on something this size.
Certainly.
God, I really want to see him break away and just start doing cool shit again.
We shall see.
Yeah, we shall see.
So,
I think that about closes the book on Mr. Jackson.
For now.
For now. For now. We will return to talk about him again at some point, I'm sure. But in the meantime, if you want to buy anything from Amazon.com, everything from a baby to a toothbrush.
Oh, baby toothbrush.
Or baby toothbrush. Or legal advice. No, you can't get for the baby you just bought. If you want to buy something through Amazon, go to thefilmthugs.com and just click on our link. It'll take you to Amazon. You buy shit the way you normally would. Doesn't cost you a thin dime more, and it helps us out a little bit. If you like cool T-shirts, much like the one I'm wearing right now, you can't see it, but it's called the Keeping Tree. And it's just like the Giving Tree, except instead of giving every single thing he has just so this little ungrateful prick will hang out with him more, the tree looks at him and says, get a job. It's awesome. But yeah, you can buy cool shirts like that, and we get a little kickback. Again, doesn't cost you a cent more if you go through our site. We've got shit from Onnit. There's ways for you to get anything from exercise equipment to crazy T-shirts to baby toothbrushes. All of it you can get through our site. Doesn't cost you anything else. Helps us out some.
Yes,
you can also check us out on Twitter. You can check us out on Facebook.
Yes.
If you want to contact us, you can get us through those areas. Or you could pick up your phone and dial 512-666-RANT. That will kick you through to us. You can leave a voicemail that we will play on the show and do hilarious comedy with.
Or attempt
fun.
To anyway.
We'll attempt to. It'll be fun. We'll find it fun. If you live international and want to contact us, we are the_film_thugs on Skype. If you want to just go old school and send us an email. Old school?
Old school.
Send us an email.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of it is an old school way of contacting people now. We are thefilmthugs@gmail.com. Or we're going to do an upcoming question show again where we answer questions without having seen them ahead of time on episodes that we just call Ask the Film Thugs. Listen to our old Ask the Film Thugs. It's a lot of fun.
Tis.
I really think that sums us up with everything there.
Frodo of the Nine Fingers and the Ring of Doom.
Party's over.